Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, 20-21. 2 Corinthians 5, 20-21. What y'all got? Just yell amen. Bunch of slow folks around here, I tell you. Just kidding. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Second Corinthians 5, 20-21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity you have, Lord. Just thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Angel, Lord. I pray as the special comes, I pray you to prepare hearts, Lord. And I pray as the message falls, Lord, I pray you just would keep hearts tender, Lord. And I pray you speak to hearts, Father. You know the needs. You know the situations, Lord. I pray you would change lives tonight. All this we ask in your precious holy name. Amen. Fitting it is for one of the mothers of the teenagers to sing before I preach. Of course, Brother Payne gave me $20 to say that, so amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 20-21, we'll read it again. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The verse I want to focus on tonight is verse 22, but for context's sake, I put in verse 20, 21 there. You see then in verse 21 it says, verse 22 it says, for he hath made him. He is God, hath made him is Jesus. So God hath made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Why in the world would God make his own son to be sin for us? And with many reasons, many answers you can give, but the one that I came up with is because he loves us. Basically, in a nutshell, because he loves us. And the title of my message tonight is Because He Loves Us. God the Father and Jesus the Son did what they did for us because they love us. But do we really understand what exactly God's love do we really understand God's love for us? Can we really put it in a definition? Can we really materialize it in a way that we really would grasp the meaning of love, His love for us? There's really no way we can grasp God's love for us. I'm just going to focus a few minutes on the love of God had for us and the love Jesus Christ had for us tonight. First, we're going to focus on God. If someone was to ask you, say, hey, brother, does God love you? You'd say, oh, absolutely. I know God loves me. And of course, that's true. We know God loves us. But the question is, prove it. How can you say that God loves us? I mean, prove it from the Bible that God really loves us, that God really loves you. And I'm going to plan on doing that tonight. The first reason we know God loves us is because He showed us He loves us. Everybody can turn in their Bibles to Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. This is an excellent soul-winning verse, too. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a really big word in there, and I still can't figure out how to spell it. You know, it's somewhere with a couple M's and an N somewhere in there. But the word commendeth. Commendeth, if you look it up, if you look at the root word of commendeth, one of the meanings of the word commendeth is to show. God showed His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed us His love. He proved it. He showed us when we were sinners deserving hell, when we were sinners, there's nothing we had that God needed. There's nothing we could offer God, nothing we could offer Jesus, but He loved us so much that when we were sinners deserving hell, He let His own Son, Jesus Christ, die on the cross. So number one, the reason why we know God loves us is because He showed us. Hey, listen, people talk things like, yeah, I'm going to do this for you, or someone says, I'm going to come and do a favor for you, and they never show up, and it's kind of frustrating. And sometimes someone wants to do you a favor for you or help you out, and sometimes you're going to say, well, prove it. Prove it. You really mean me. If you really mean your word, prove it. And God proved it. He didn't have to prove it, but He did. He tells us He loved us, but we know He proved it because of what He did on the cross for us. So number one, we know He loves us because He showed us. This is an excellent soul-winning verse to let someone understand that even though they're a sinner deserving hell, hopeless to get to heaven, God loved us enough to provide a way for us to get to heaven through His Son, Jesus. A good example, a good illustration, say we're in the water, we're in the ocean, and a big cruise liner, and we go overboard. And we can't swim too well. Actually, we probably can't swim at all. And there's no boats anywhere in sight. And if any of you ever had a situation where you're almost drowned, you can kind of understand what I'm talking about. You feel hopeless. You're scared of death, and all hope is lost. But as suddenly, out of like a corner of your eye, you see a little lifesaver there, a little life raft there. And man, you swim for everything you got. If you're just a little bit of a swimmer or the best swimmer, you swim for everything you got to that lifesaver because you know that lifesaver will save your life. Hey, Jesus Christ, God was a lifesaver. He used Jesus Christ as a lifesaver for us. And that His death on the cross is what can save us from eternal hell and bring us to heaven. You're probably saying, Brother Jason, why are you preaching this? We all know, most of us, if not all of us, probably in this room, are going to heaven. Because we need to be reminded every now and then of His love for us. As human beings, we get so caught up in the rat race and so caught up in the daily run of things that we kind of forget His love for us. I mean, we're all human, face it. We all get caught up in things going on. We forget how much He loves us. And every now and then, it's so good to be reminded of how much He loves us and what He did on the cross. He owes us nothing. We owe Him everything. Yet He gave up His Son for us, Jesus Christ. So number one, how did he prove His love to us? Because He showed us. Number two tonight is because of what He did to His Son. And we'll go back to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's so hard to understand this verse. Jesus never sinned. He never knew. Yeah, He was tempted, but He never knew what it was like to sin. He never had the regret. He never had the disgrace of letting down His Father in heaven. He never had that, ever, one time. He didn't know sin. Sin is the opposite of God. See, God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. And sin is what Satan uses to tear down Christians. Sin is what many Christians fell by the wayside because of sin. Sin is what is used by Satan to destroy so many lives. And Satan uses sin all the time. Sin is what separated God from man in the Garden of Eden. That one word, sin, is what separated God from man. And that was sin was the opposite of God. Sin is the enemy of God, if you will. But yet, God willingly made His Son to become sin for us. He put sin on His own Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, we all, if any of you ever have children in this room, if you have you're a mom or dad, you have some kids, your natural instinct is to protect your children. If you know of someone ever come up to hurt your kids, man, you're going to stand in front of them. I remember a couple times when Hallie and Caleb were little, and I saw in our back alley a couple homeless guys walking down the alley carrying pushing baby strollers. And I got a little concerned about that, and Hallie always runs out in the back alley with our dog and takes off after him. And my first instinct when I saw that was like, okay, I need to protect my daughter. It didn't even think twice. As a parent, you understand if you have children, it's an instinctive built in you to protect your child because you love them. And that you would never, if you were in your right frame of mind, you would never willingly let anything happen to your child if you really loved your child. A normal human being wouldn't do that. But God willingly let His Son become sin. Hey, you understand how much He loves us? It's amazing. We can't understand it. We can't fathom it. We want to protect our kids. We don't want anything to happen to our kids. And that's normal. We're supposed to do that. But God let His own Son become sin. He let His own Son become the enemy, His own enemy, such as, because He hates sin. He let sin fall on His own Son. Why? Because He loves us. Man, that's so awesome. Because He loves us, we can't understand it. But because of what He loves us, we do, it's the only way we can understand. And He showed it, number one. And number two, what He did to His own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was tempted like us, but never sinned. Hebrews 4:15 says, you don't have to turn there. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Again, Jesus Christ never sinned, never knew what it was like, but He was tempted because He was a human being, but He never gave into it. But yet willingly, He accepted sin when His dad put it on Him. His Father, Heavenly Father, God put it on Him on the cross. He made Him become sin. And Jesus Christ took our sin for us, the only way for us to get to heaven. It was the only way because He loved us. If you're a Christian, want to live for God, you want to do right by God, you're going to understand whenever you sin, whenever we do wrong, whenever we mess up and we do wrong, we're going to feel guilty, we're going to feel ashamed, man, we're going to feel horrible before our parents if we wrong them, and definitely before God because we wronged Him. We're going to want to make things right, we're going to feel horrible. God didn't know what it was like to feel horrible before His Father, but He willingly took that. He willingly became that sin for us. God willingly put it on His own Son for us because He loves us. And Christ, again, He showed us because He loved us because He showed us. And number two, again, because of what He did to His Son. Another point that proves how God loves us is because of His Word. Every turn to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now keep your finger there and turn to Romans 10:17. It's really cool when you have these little funky thingamabobber, whatever these things are called, to help keep your place in the Bible. Pretty cool. Anyway, it's a little side note there. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we go back to Hebrews 11:6, it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we get faith? Through the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hey, listen, God gave us His word because He loves us. We're in the year 2006 right now. Yeah, the Bible that we have in our hands, this holy word that we have in our hands, was written many, many years ago. One estimated that Moses started writing, penning the words and the Pentateuch in about 1500 BC, and David started penning some words in about 1000 BC. But today, we have this holy, inspired, perfect word of God. And if any of you ever studied the Bible and saw how many people died, you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll understand how many people died just for this one book, this one sacred book they died for. Why? Because God promised to preserve His Word. Psalms 12:6-7, everybody could turn there real quick. I know I'm making you all stretch your fingers here. Sorry about that. Psalms 12:6-7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how the Bible says how you get faith. Hearing and hearing by the word of God. God knew how important this Bible was. And He promised in Psalms 12 to preserve the words from this generation forever. Listen, 1500 BC, the words were penned. It's 2006 AD, and we still have the same words. He promised to preserve His word, and we still have every single word because God promised to preserve His word. Why? Because He knew this word. We can know about how His Son Jesus Christ died on His cross. We can know about how we can go to heaven through His Son. We can know about how to live a godly life through this one holy book, and we have it. And we have this book, and He promised to preserve His word, and because of His word, He gave us the gift of eternal life, and because of His word, you can learn how to live an excellent Christian life, and because of His word, you can learn how to defeat the wicked one through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in Philippians 4:13. We can do anything through Christ, and we find that in His word. And you know why He gave us His word? Because He loves us. Because He loves us, He gave us His word. Hey, God... Man, God, He wants nothing more but see us going to heaven. He wants that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody going to hell. He wants all going to heaven. And He gave it through His Word. Through His Word. And why did it? Because He loves us. Listen, so many people died. People executed, died in the fire, burned at the stake. So many horrible deaths. Why? Because He promised to preserve His Word. He promised to do it because He knew in 2006 AD there were still people on this earth who are wanting to do right, who are wanting to serve God, and He had to preserve it. And if the rapture doesn't come for another 200, 2,000 years, I can tell you, guaranteed, 100% truthfully, that this word will still be here. Because He promised to preserve from this generation until the next. He promised to preserve His word, but here's a little something to think about. How often do we take this word so flippantly? How often do we, I'll read a couple of chapters, I'll read a couple of verses, or do whatever we do, and don't really understand what we're reading, or don't really care what we're reading, or don't really take it seriously of how important this word is. And we take it so flippantly, and then when things happen in our lives, maybe going the wrong way because we're not taking this word seriously, we're not trying to live by the word, then we have to understand God has to get our attention. But listen, He promised to preserve His word because He loves us. Because He loves us so much, He wants to live the Christian life. He wants to see people get saved. He wants to see people become missionaries, like Paul was an example of. He wants to see people raise their kids right, like Solomon gave to his son in the book of Proverbs, how to raise their children. He wants everybody to do right, and people to be saved, have a great Christian life. And He gave us His word because He loves us. Because He loves us. Man, there's no awesome way to explain God's love, but because He loves us. We can't explain it, but you can see how much He loves us. Number one, again, because He showed us. Number two, because of what He did to His Son. And number three, because of His Word. Why do all these things? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. I can go on for hours and hours, and there are many different points in the Bible bring out about how God loves us, but I was just going to focus on those three tonight. Now, the next section, focus on Jesus and His love for us. Again, I'll ask the same question. If someone asks us if Jesus loves us, what would we say? Yes? Sure, we say yes. We know Jesus loves us. But again, how do we know He loves us? Prove it. Prove to me from the Bible how He loves us. And again, there's thousands and thousands of verses, I'm sure, you can find to prove His love for us. I'm going to focus on a few tonight. Number one, because He willingly went to the cross. Everybody turn to Matthew 26:53, please. He willingly went to the cross. Jesus wasn't a weakling. You see pictures of Jesus Christ, people paint with long hair, maybe some mascara under his eyes that you want to throw up when you see him. He was a carpenter. He didn't have the power tools like we have today. Amen, Brother Blanchett? And he didn't have all those nice, awesome tools, which are wonderful, by the way. But he had to work hard. He had to saw manually. He had to sand manually. He had to do everything manually. I bet you his forearms were this big. I mean, the man, he'd walk everywhere, over the hills and everywhere in through his ministry. He wasn't weak by any means. He was a strong man. And there's two verses which kind of prove how big, how powerful God was. Matthew 26:53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He said this in the Garden of Gethsemane, right after Peter cut the ear off of a Roman soldier. Peter was defending Jesus, and Jesus said, wait a minute, Peter. Don't you understand, if I really wanted to stop this, In a second, I got to say the word, and legions of angels would be surrounding me, protecting me. All I had to do was give the command, it would happen. Because, in another verse, if everybody turn to John 18, verses 4 to 6. John 18, verses 4 to 6. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. He said three words. He never put hands on anybody. He just said three words. I am he. And immediately some soldiers went flying back and fell on the ground. Listen, the point I'm trying to make is, he had so much power. He could just say some words and bang, people go flying back. He had to give one command, the legions of angels would be surrounded and protecting him. It only had been one way for Jesus to go to the cross. He had to be willingly go. Because if he didn't want to go, it's like, I'm not going. He'd have 1,000 things at his disposal in a second to protect him. I'm sure he'd have nucleares and nuclear bombs and MKs and AK-47s and grenades, you name it. He had it at his disposal to use it. But you know, my point I'm trying to make is that he had to willingly go to the cross. And that's exactly what he did. And let me ask you, why in the world did he willingly go to the cross? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Hey, I did a study on the cross. It's kind of what Jesus went through. I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time on it. But what actually happened on that cross? First, there was a scourging, also known as flogging. The weapon they used was a short whip with several braided leather thongs of variable lengths in which small iron balls or sharp pieces of sheep bones were tied at intervals. The victim had his hands tied to a giant post, so he was facing the post and his whole back was exposed. Two guards took turns whipping from different positions, or one guard switched positions as the victim was scourged. Depending on the severity of the scourging, it would weaken the victim to a state of collapse or short of death. And after it was done, the Roman soldier would then taunt the victim. He went through the worst punishment ever in the history of man. No one ever went through what Jesus went through. And the thing about it was, he wasn't guilty of any of it. He didn't have to do any of it. I mean, he was perfect. He can go sit back at the right hand of the Father. He was perfect. But he did it because he loved us. He was scourged. I mean, if you ever do some research yourself on it, it was a horrible thing, the scourging. Those whips, when they would wrap around a person, that sheep bones would grab into the skin when they pulled them off. It would rip right into the skin, cause flesh and blood to come out. That's the first thing that happened. Next thing, he had to carry the cross. And the cross, the cross was to be carried from the scourging site to the site of the crucifixion. Since the entire cross usually weighed over 300 pounds, only the crossbar was carried, which weighed about 75 to 125 pounds. He had to carry that. Now, he was so weakened by the scourging, he couldn't even carry it. We all know what happened. He had to carry it, and Simon had to take it up for him. But so number one, he was scourged for us. Number two, he had to take that cross, carry it up from the scourging site to the crucifixion site to where his crucifixion was. Why did he do it? Because he loved us. Because he loved us. After he was, next comes the crucifixion. The Romans didn't invent this form of punishment. It was actually invented by Alexander the Great and then passed on to Egypt and Carthage and finally given to the Romans. Although the Romans didn't invent this, they perfected it to produce a slow death with maximum pain and suffering. This was one of the most disgraceful and cruel methods of execution, and it was only usually reserved for slaves, foreigners, revolutionaries, and the vilest of criminals. I'm not trying to be too detailed tonight. I'm not trying to be too graphic. I'm not trying to be gross. But I want you to understand one thing, what he went through on that cross and why he did it when he didn't have to. Because he loved us. Jesus Christ went through all that on the cross because he loved us. He was beaten with that scourging. He had to carry that cross, we all know what happened with his arms and his legs. So they were nailed to the cross. The victim's arms and legs were nailed to the cross with tapered iron spikes between 5 to 7 inches in length, with a square shaft. He went through the most horrible torture on that cross. Why in the world did he do that? Because he loved us. It's amazing what he went through on the cross.
And again, we don't understand his death on the cross. Society tries to water it down like his death on the cross was not a big deal. Like it was a simple death. There are some cults out there which will say he didn't die on a cross. He died on a stake, which is obviously totally untrue. But listen, we all know he went through the worst punishment, the worst in the world, because he loved us. Because he loved us. It was the most amazing thing. Because he loved us. And finally, there was a spear wound after his death. A 5 to 6 foot spear was commonly used and was used to pierce the heart through the right side of the chest. Though he went through some horrible things, but the worst thing he went through on that cross was probably when he was forsaken by his father. Mark 15:34 says, in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had sin placed on him. He was put in the sin of the world, was placed on him by his father, and his father couldn't look at him because he was all sin at this point. He took the sin of the world on his shoulders. And why did he do that? Why did he say, my God, why hast thou forsaken thee? Why did he go through all that stuff on the cross? Why did he go through the scourging? Why did he go through carrying the cross? Why did he have the spikes? Why did he do it all? And at any moment, he could have called his angels. And at any moment, he could do anything he wanted to take all of it away. But he kept going to finish his course because he loved us. We can't understand it. There's no way you can explain it. But because he loved us. Another reason why we know Jesus loves us is because he died for us, people who didn't even love him. In 1 John 4:19, it says we love him because he first loved us. The only reason we love Jesus Christ today is because he first loved us. The only reason we love Jesus Christ today is because he died on the cross, giving us that example, giving that way to heaven through his death on the cross. I know a lot of people can stand here today and give their testimonies of how maybe they grew up a rough life. I grew up a rough life until I was saved 21 years old. And a lot of our men, great men in here, godly women in here, who grew up a rough life, but they got saved later in life. And the thing is, in the beginning, maybe some of us didn't even want anything to do with God. We maybe even blasting the name of God. We didn't love God until one day something happened in our life that God changed our whole life around. And he saved us from the wicked sin. And you know what? We love him because he first loved us. And why do you go through all this stuff on the cross? Why do you go through the scourging? Why do you do all the pain? Because he loves us! Because he loves us! Because he loves us! That should be the most amazing. That should blow us away. We should never comprehend it. We should never be able to understand it. Because he loves us. Man, it's the most awesome thing in the world because he loves us. Another reason why another point I had. You hear the stories of men in wars who died for their fellow soldiers. You hear some great stories of men in different wars. My father was in the Vietnam War, and he'll have some stories about different people in the war who died, put a life on line. Maybe a grenade was thrown into a bunker, and one soldier threw himself on it to give up his life for the rest of his soldiers. But that was one soldier who loved the rest of his soldiers. He loved his soldiers. He wanted to give his life for them because he loved his soldiers. He loved his fellow Marines, his fellow comrades, his fellow Army men. Or you hear people of maybe a baby is dying or is in a burning house, and someone runs into the house and grabs the baby from the clutch of death and brings him out. And why do they do all that? Because they love the baby. The thing was, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he's the only person in the history of this world who died on the cross, not for people who loved him or people who didn't love him. The same people who loved him and followed him in the beginnings were the same ones who crucified him later on. Hey, he died on the cross for all mankind. He died on the cross for people who didn't even love him. In all human history, you look at the history books, people always died for put their life on line for someone they loved, for someone they cared for. But you'll never read an account of someone who put their life on the line, who gave up their life for someone who didn't even love them. But Jesus Christ is the only one in the history of this world who gave up his life willingly for people who didn't even love him. And why did he do it? Because he loves us. Why do it? Because he loves us. It's sobering thinking about it. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve Jesus' love. But because he loves us, we have a way to go to heaven. Because he loves us, we can live a godly Christian life. Because he loves us, we can have victory over the things of this world. Because he loves us. I know a lot of teenagers. I deal with a lot teenagers I see who I work with here at the church or even out on the buses. They come in the afternoon program. They deal with a lot of issues going on in their life. A lot of teenagers deal with a lot of different issues. And it's hard. I mean, when I grew up, the things I dealt with aren't even half the things that teenagers today are dealing with. It's getting worse and worse every generation. But I always get amazed those teenagers who understood God's love, who were raised in a godly home, who gave everything they want, and they throw it away because they want to serve the world. They want to go up there. They throw it all away. I don't understand that. I can't understand it. He loved us so much. He gave eternal life. I want to do my own thing, Jesus. Maybe later. Maybe when I'm older, when I'm done doing my stuff, then I'll come to you. His love for us is unfathomable. We can't explain it. You can't put it into words yet. A lot of us are willing to do that. Now, praise the Lord for those teenagers. I can tell you names and names of so many teenagers are here at Faith Baptist Church who want to do right, who have a desire to do right because they understand what it's like to be raised in a godly church. They understand they have an advantage being raised in a good home, a Christian home. They understand they have an opportunity to do something great for God the rest of their life. And they understand and praise the Lord for the teenagers. And I believe they have a glimpse of that one phrase, because He loves us. I believe they have a glimpse of it, and they want to return the favor, or they want to give their life serving God, whether it's a godly layman, or whether it's a ministry, or whether what aspect. It doesn't matter. Because they understand He loves us. And I praise the Lord for those teenagers and those young men and women who want to do that. Another reason why we know God loves us is because He wanted to do His Father's will. And since God loved us, Jesus loved us. In Matthew 26:39 it says, And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, but as thou wilt. You know what happened in that garden? He was under so much stress from praying and dealing with who knows what was going on. Maybe a lot of attacks from Satan. He was actually sweating drops of blood. Now, I bet you no one in this room could say, hey, Brother Jason, I sweated drops of blood the other day. No, because we never probably know the stress he went through. But he on the cross, in the garden, he understood what he had to go through. He understood what was going to happen. He understood the impact of the pain he had to deal with, the impact of suffering. And he was stressed about it. But he said, if it be possible, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Whatever God wanted, he was going to do. Because he loved his Father, and his Father wanted him to die on the cross for us. And he also loved us enough that he wanted to die on the cross as well for us to give us a chance to go to heaven. Because he loved us. Man, there's nothing better than that. He wanted to do the Father's will. Because he loves us. Now what about this love of God? What about this love of God? What about this love of Jesus? Turn to Romans 8, verses 38 to 39. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I absolutely love those two verses. There's nothing that can happen. It's rock solid, set in stone. God loved us enough to give His Son went to the cross for us. Now what? That love will never wane. That love will never change. That love will never go away. Nothing. And those two verses are so clear that nothing can happen to ever stop His love from us. Hey, Christian, you grew up in an ungodly home, and you got saved later in life. Hey, Christian, He loves you just the same. Hey, someone who wants to do good, but you keep falling, you keep struggling. You know, I want to read my Bible. I want to read my Bible, Brother Jason. I try to pray. I try to go to my prayer closet and pray. I try to read my Bible and just. It seems like it's so difficult, or I get distracted, maybe kids at home or work or things going on. And I find it so difficult. Will He ever stop loving me? No! Absolutely not! He'll never stop loving you. His love will never stop from you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstances going on in your life. He will never stop loving us. Nothing will change. Man, say, bro, Jason, I'm struggling. Things are going on. He'll never stop loving you. A lot of us, people had an announcement tonight. Brother Garner mentioned about his son Daniel and his wife Missy going through a tough time. But they can lean on one thing, that their God will never stop loving them. Never stop loving them. I can never understand what they're going through, but they can be sure of this, He'll never stop loving them, no matter what's going on, and He'll get them through it, because they have that love for Him. We have this love, it's like a tap It'll never stop. All you got to do is turn it on anytime you want it to understand His love for us. It's like an eternal tap that never stops. It keeps flowing with His love constantly out for us. And maybe when we stop loving Him or we turn our back on Him, His love's still there. When we do wrong and we want to get right, His love's still there. When we're on fire doing good for God, His love's still there. No matter what situation's going on in our life, His love is still there for us. He will never stop loving us. No matter what happens, no circumstance, He will never stop loving us. Man, praise the Lord for it. That is the most awesome thing. And in closing, back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 to 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, and knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You want to know how much He loves us? Because He proved it. He proved it so many ways. He proved it by showing us. He proved it by dying on the cross for us, letting His Son die on the cross for us. He proved it by today still loving us. He let His own Son become sin for us because He loved us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Mentioned tonight about a bunch of things about proving God's love for us and what He did for us on the cross, or what He did for us for His Son to die on the cross. If the Lord spoke in your heart tonight, maybe you forgot about His love for us. Maybe we just need to be reminded of His love for us. I pray you come forward and use the altar tonight. Or maybe you're just kind of walking away from God a little bit. Be reassured, Christian. He'll never stop loving you no matter where you are in life, your Christian walk. Maybe you need to come to the altar tonight and revisit it. Or if you're doing great for God, things are happening, the Lord's really blessing, maybe you come to God and thank Him for how much He loves you and how much He blesses. As music plays, you come.